Inside Red Bull Bora Hans Kroer, the OVB online podcast on the Tour de France. For 3 weeks, we join team manager Ralf Denk as he leads the biggest and most successful German cycling team through the Tour de France. Do you have questions for Ralf Denk? Send them to tobias.ruf@ovbmedia.de. And now, enjoy the new episode.
Jasper Philipsen wins the 17th stage of the Tour de France. Tadej Pogacar defends yellow, and Remco Evenepoel remains in second place in the general classification. We switch to France to the team manager of Red Bull, Bora Hansgrohe. Hello to Ralf Denk.
Greetings from Grenoble and best regards to Rosenheim.
We have been doing this for 7 years now, Ralf, but rarely have I been as confused as today. Can you help me understand how the stage played out? I lost track at some point. Was that still the Tour de France? Were those classics? Is it because it is the 17th stage? Is it the green jersey? What was that today?
We can summarize it briefly. A chaotic stage.
Thank you.
We saw many different interests in the race.
The big battle for the green jersey, which is now very, very close again. That is one A1, one building block of the stage. At the beginning, they also tried to some extent with the general classification riders, and it was also relatively fast. And the current third place, Isaac Del Toro, was also temporarily dropped, also behind Remco.
That was also surprising to me, but well, it was just that way.
And on the other side, we naturally have many teams that do not have anything to show for themselves here yet. And I criticized that a bit at the beginning, especially during the flat stages, that the smaller teams who cannot play a role in the general classification here did not try hard enough for stage wins. They are all waking up now.
Now we have 4 days of the Tour de France left, and oh, we still have nothing. And that is why they all tried to attack today back and forth, and everyone wanted to try something one more time today.
And yes, ultimately, from a relatively large leading group, Jasper Philipsen managed to win his stage in impressive fashion and also with impressive lead-out work from Mathieu van der Poel.
Did the competition, and now we're getting to the final phase. Also something I didn't understand. So Lidl Trek is obviously going for the green jersey with Mats Pedersen. You mentioned it.
That is only 7 points, no? Shush. Then you win the intermediate sprint, but somehow it all leads to that. Then you let Jasper Stuyven go. It leads to the group right behind, catching up again, reeling in Stuyven. And then a certain Monsieur van der Poel is there, who can, of course, lead out this sprint for Philipsen like almost no one else. Did they somehow gamble it away there? I mean, I didn't get that from that perspective either. Do you know what?
Yes, the whole Lidl Trek team invested an incredible amount today. Also, Mats Pedersen himself invested a great, great deal. And we had Nico Denz up front, right? And also Jai Hindley. Jai Hindley had a bit of a watchdog role for us up front. And Nico Denz would have had a free ride, but I just spoke to Nico briefly. It was so hard up there, and Nico was also at his limit, and then Mats Pedersen was also at his limit, and that is why he could not hold his own in the sprint against Jasper Philipsen, but only finished sixth or seventh or whatever. That is why the fight for the green jersey is wide open again.
You mentioned Jai Hindley. I understood Nico Denz. We saw him quite early on too. First off, the question about him, was he the card they wanted to play today?
Primarily, yes. Nico knows this region very, very well because the start was in, yes, Chambéry. And in Chambéry, he actually did his cycling training. He once rode there for the team AG2R in the under 23 category.
That is based in Chambéry, and that is why Nico knew
the routes today very, very well, and also the mountains, and he certainly felt capable of it. If the stage took a relatively normal course,
But that was no normal course. That was pure chaos and also super hard racing in the third week. And that is why Nico was completely at his limit.
He rode really well, but a caliber like Mats Pedersen up front with Mathieu van der Poel, he just couldn't hold his own against that. And he did arrive in the front group, but was no longer able to secure a placing for us.
You mentioned Jai Hindley in a breakaway role. I felt like I was in a time machine for a second, because I actually expected Jai Hindley to be further up front starting tomorrow. Not really today. What is this minder role, as you call it, all about?
Yes, well, when such large lead groups form, you want to have a presence. It's simple. You're at the front. You show your colors and you don't want to be on the defensive. You can always bring people back if needed, but you can never just send people to the front like that.
And that is why it is always in the team meetings, if a larger G group goes 20 plus, please have someone go with them. You can do that because if the group up front is that big, then it is no harder in the breakaway group up front than it is at the back, because you have so much slipstream in the breakaway group too that it makes relatively little difference in terms of effort whether you are sitting at the front of such a group or back in the pack.
That is enough for today. Let us look back at yesterday, the diagnosis of a broken collarbone. When we last spoke, Ralf, it was not yet confirmed for Florian Lipowitz. Everyone probably heard about that. Can you give us any further updates on Florian? Where is he? How is he doing right now?
He is doing well. That is always the most important thing. He was operated on last night, and that is a good thing. That way the healing process can begin as quickly as possible. And we also use the contacts from the Red Bull network, so that he was operated on in the best hands last night or late last night. And we also want to protect his privacy a bit. So we are not going to communicate where he was operated on, and also when he will return to training and when he will race again. Those are still things for the future. But I can say here that he is doing very, very well considering the circumstances. I also spoke with him this morning. Yes, he has already taken it with a bit of gallows humor, the whole thing, because the disappointment is naturally huge, because you have to know a Tour de France, you prepare for that with more than half a year of lead time. Those are sacrifices, those are hours of hard training, often in miserable weather too, and then he drops out like that. That is really, really bitter. But I also told Florian that he is not the first major protagonist to leave the Tour de France like this, and he won't be the last. It is somehow part of it, and in the end, he already made a relatively composed impression on me during our talk this morning.
Quickly, he was actually operated on that very night. I mean, you don't have a surgeon with you. How he's not just going to say, oh, there's the nearest local hospital. I'll just go there and have it done. How does that work?
No, well, we obviously have a medical team on our side with great contacts, and our medical team did make a job, in my opinion. So a big thank you once again to my medical team. And on the other hand, we have the Red Bull network. And then when things are urgent, when it concerns important athletes, you can get such quick decisions done overnight, even before midnight. And that happened yesterday. And that is also what distinguishes this whole project here, that you have such an infrastructure.
So he's then basically on call. Hey, something happened. Pack your doctor's bag, to put it bluntly, and off you go. I can imagine it that vividly.
Something like that. It is relatively one-sided, but yes, we have these networks through Red Bull, and we are also very proud and happy that we have them.
What is the prognosis for the healing process? Is there a goal already? You have naturally had many conversations, given many interviews too, and said that with an injury like this, it is unfortunately part of cycling. We will most likely see him on the bike again this season. Is there a goal already, or is it too early at this moment?
It is primarily too early. And as I said, that is purely my assessment. I would be happy if he still races this year, but which ones those are, when that is, we have to wait and see for now.
Exactly, he deserves that. Regarding the mental perspective, are you addressing that already, or are you leaving him alone for now?
Well, he is also still with such surgery. You always get general anesthesia. That also has some after effects to a certain extent, and we are leaving him in peace for a few days now. But we also have specialists here in our network who can support the mental or this mental processing. And then it is, of course, also a bit of common sense that you have to apply there. A good environment, family-like, but also from the team. We are all very, very supportive and stand behind Florian because he is an exceptional athlete. He has done a great, great deal for our team. Standing next to him when he's on the podium, that is easy, but it is on days like this that you saw, or if you are truly a team.
Well, the ones who fortunately don't leave us alone, Ralph, are the listeners, because we are getting very, very many questions. Many thanks to everyone. We will try somehow to answer as many as possible. We won't be able to answer all of them in the end. That is the price we pay for you sending us so many. But let's take a few questions in the background today. Let's start. Beg Siegsbergel is his name. And Nina Janjic have a question about UV protection. You never see the riders applying or reapplying sunscreen on the bike. What do they put on before a stage? Is it a special product with a sun protection factor of 100? And are the jerseys special UV clothing? It is a topic that is naturally becoming more and more important. How does that work then?
Yes, well, you see, those who don't apply sunscreen because they already apply so much before the stage. And if you look at old photos of cyclists, we have this distinct tan line. The arms and legs are dark and the rest of the body is white. Today's cyclists don't look like that anymore because much, much more sunscreen is used. More cyclists take the subject very, very seriously and use a high sun protection factor. And we have various sun protection factors available on our buses. Everyone can decide how sensitive their skin is, but it really is used. And
But are those special products, if I may ask?
Yes, we have these products from our partner, Dynamic Bike and Body Care, and the riders like to use them too.
Do the jerseys have some kind of special function that you need?
No, more in the other direction, so that it shines through. They are that thin, so you really have to put sunscreen on your back before you put on your racing suit if you don't want to get a sunburn on your back.
Oh, okay. That doesn't just apply to racing cyclists, but sun protection factor. Sunscreen is good for everyone. Let's take the next question. Axel Jacken wants to know your opinion on the planned tour start in Berlin in 2029. Is that a good idea in principle? Should we perhaps focus more on regional tours and invest the money there? What is your opinion on this idea, which is already quite advanced? The bid for the tour start has been submitted and is already quite far along. Nothing is certain yet, but they are on kind of home stretch. What are your thoughts on the planned start in 2029?
My premiere as a German racing team, to have a Grand Départ in Germany is certainly, yes, and I know it is nice. I was able to experience the Grand Départ in Düsseldorf in 2017. It was our first year in the World Tour. The Tour de France started there in Düsseldorf. It was a huge spectacle. Now, Berlin is up for discussion, and I do not know the operating company behind the bid. They have not introduced themselves to me yet, but I do know the position of the ISO. I spoke with Christian Prudhomme about it at the end of March on the sidelines of the Tour of Valencia. And Christian Prudhomme is a visionary after all, and he just says if it happens, then the Tour de France has to start in Berlin. That is then a major political event where in the end Macron and Merz will likely settle the deal between themselves, and then such funds flow more easily than if it takes place at a regional level. And that is why I believe Berlin has very, very good chances. Originally, it was more like in the states of Thuringia and Saxony, but that is, of course, not nearly as sexy now as in the state capital. And that is why Christian Prudhomme told me his clear preference would be Berlin. And I also believe that we can outbid our competitor, and that is a serious competitor, Slovenia, which is the home of Primož Roglič and Tadej Pogačar. They are also bidding for the Grand Départ in 2029. Yes, or outbid them with arguments as to why Berlin and why not Slovenia.
Well, there is a bidding process, and I believe that with Berlin, we already have many arguments.
The fall of the Berlin Wall 40 years ago will perhaps also play a symbolic role, reviving the topic and bringing it to mind once again. And the Tour de France also took place in Berlin back in the 80s when the wall was still standing. I still remember that as a little boy. And because of that, I would be happy if we in Berlin 2029 start off.
Exactly. And once everything is finalized, we will hopefully be able to talk about it in detail here over the next few years. Let's stay in Germany and look at the Deutschland Tour, which runs from the 19th to the 23rd. August, Christian Adelmann wants to know, how important is the Deutschland Tour to you? And can fans look forward to seeing big names from your team?
As for who will ultimately ride the Deutschland Tour for us, we are still juggling that a bit. So I cannot name any names yet. However, because it is not part of the World Tour, but the Pro Series, which is basically one category below the World Tour, it will open up the possibility to perhaps field one or two rookies, which I find very exciting.
The Deutschland Tour is quite important for us as it is our home race. We do not have that many races in Germany.
In my opinion, the timing is a bit inconvenient. It falls on the same weekend that the Tour of Spain starts. At the same time, we also have the World Tour race, the Benelux Tour. So we are running three programs that weekend, meaning three different races.
That means a big effort for us as a team, but on the other hand, it dilutes it a bit, and I would prefer the Deutschland Tour to be at a different time. I think May would be quite exciting, perhaps parallel to the Giro d'Italia, where there are not so many races, where the Bayern Rundfahrt used to be. That was always somewhat of a prelude to the preparation for the Tour de France.
I think that you could generate even more attention there than during the holiday season in August.
Let's take the last question. Manuel Wirtz wants to know something about the radio messages that can be seen and heard on TV. Are they pre-filtered? And do the teams whose radio messages are being broadcast know they are about to be aired? I mean, there are certainly some things that are not intended for the public.
The teams agreed to sell the radio communications to the ASO, so to speak. We get a little money, I say deliberately a little more money, and the ASO then sells it on to the company that produces the TV signal. They come with a time delay. They are definitely real.
That is exactly what the sports director is saying. It is delayed, so it is not relevant to the race and does not distort the competition if anything is revealed.
But I mean, you are not directly involved with these radio communications, but could you tell them in the end, please do not release this to the public, or when you sell them, as you say, do you no longer have any control over what you have sold?
No. Well, it is unfiltered and it should be unfiltered because otherwise you only get what you don't want to hear. And well, it is okay that it is unfiltered. And it also takes a bit of getting used to for the sporting directors in the car. having that in the back of their minds all day, that they shouldn't perhaps blurt out things that might, how should I say, sometimes be below the belt. So eyes and ears and mouth, or brain first, engage before you let your mouth do the work.
That never hurts in life, generally speaking. Well, thank you very much for the insights, Ralf. And we look ahead to tomorrow. We look ahead to Thursday. It starts at 12:35. Expected arrival is around 17:15. It goes from Voiron to Ossias-Merlette. The Alpine trilogy begins. 185 kilometers will be ridden at the start, a first category climb. A second category follows, two-third categories, and the mountain finish is a first category again. Yeah, what's going to happen tomorrow after that? The Alpine trilogy, there's Alpe d'Huez twice. I find it is incredibly hard to judge. What's your feeling, your knowledge? What's coming up tomorrow?
Yes, well, I know the final climb relatively well.
We had a Tour de France mountain finish here a few years ago. It is a relatively wide terrace, not too steep going up. It is not high mountains yet. We will be in the high mountains on Friday and Saturday. And I could imagine that tomorrow might be another chance, perhaps for a breakaway group.
That is why the first mountain, the one that comes after 45 kilometers, there will certainly be a hard fight for the breakaway group.
And then I expect perhaps if there is a breakaway group, even two races, one for the stage win and the other, well, the fight for the yellow jersey. But I also believe that in the group of favorites, that is basically the riders who are fighting for the podium here. I believe that tomorrow not everyone will put all their cards on the table yet.
And that is why I believe that the group around Pogacar, meaning the best climbers in the world, who hopefully will include Remco Evenepoel again tomorrow, will arrive at the top relatively together.
With Florian Lipowitz out, is there a new tactical approach? Yesterday you said it was too early to talk about it. Is there one for tomorrow yet?
Yes, we have, of course, looked at the result and we have a lead of over 2 minutes on the third placed rider. And primarily we can take it a bit easy and ride rather passively because we do not need to make up time. The others have to make up time on us in the fight for the podium. And especially tomorrow, I think we would be well advised to take a wait and see approach. And while I always hold the opinion that attack is the best form of defense, you mentioned the Alpine trilogy earlier. Perhaps we don't need to do that on the very first day.
Right. The chaos is sorted. Thanks to you, dear Ralf. Good luck for tomorrow. Many thanks for today. And we will both discuss part one of the trilogy again tomorrow at the usual time and place. Best regards to Franz and thanks to Ralf Denk.
My pleasure, and have a good evening. Best regards to Rosenheim.
That was the latest edition of Inside Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe, the podcast from OVB Online on the Tour de France. You can find the podcast on all common podcatchers and on the websites of OVB Media and IPN Media. Thanks for listening and see you in the next episode.